Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly we do thank and praise the Lord for his goodness, his mercy, and his grace. And we are just so excited about being with you on today and all that God hath for us and through us and in us on this day. And we are truly excited about you and the things of God. We come to you in the highest name heaven recognizes, and that's in that wonderful name of Jesus. And we are so excited that God is going to bless us and bless you as we are gathered here on today. Truly, God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we are the redeemed, and we come to say so on today about all of his many, many and wonderful blessings in and through the lives of his people. Truly, God said that he will not leave us, nor will he forsake us. He will be there in the sixth trouble and the seventh trouble, and no wise will he forsake his people. And I come to tell you, child of God, that God will not forsake his people and things. And so be encouraged and take heart on today and knowing that the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and the great I Am, he is there with you and will always be there with you. He will always lead and guide us into all truth. On today, we want to talk really briefly about the wisdom of God, and want to talk about the benefits of wisdom on today and things. And so we want you to know that as we put our trust and confidence in the Lord our God, he's able to do all things but exceedingly but fail. He's able to do it in and through our lives. Let's look at the Solomon and things, the Proverbs of Solomon. It says, Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of wisdom, to receive instruction of wisdom and justice and judgment and equality, and to give subtlety to the simple and to give young men knowledge and discretion. And a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. The counsel of proverb, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the word of the wise and their dark saying. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chain about thy neck. And so here the writer is talking to us in regards about wisdom. And another aspect he said, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. And surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of their owners thereof. Then verse 11 and 12 state, and it's in Proverbs 1, discretion shall preserve them, understanding shall keep them, to deliver them from the ways of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things. And verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect, and remain in it. And so he was saying that these are the things that were able to promote and to keep the children of God. When we begin to look at the word, Hebrew word for Proverbs, we begin to say that the word come from the root word of Masha, which means parallel. Hence, we notice that much of the book of Proverbs is written in parallel structures, where two parallel lines may be the same thing saying using different words. Others are parallel statements used in comparison or contrast. Now, Jesus, he used this poetic device, sometimes called allegories or metaphors or parables, to help us gain spiritual understanding and showing us his profound and divine truth from various angles and perspectives. Now, another meaning for the Hebrew words translate as proverb is to rule over or to have dominion. Now, this was the word used in Genesis 3:16 when Eve was told that her husband was to rule over her. Now, the ruling over is for the purpose of blessing and protecting the one who is being ruled. Thus, God wanted us to learn the wise saying of the book of Proverbs and embrace them as rulers and guardians of our lives. God gave them to us with our interests in mind, but we must submit ourselves to them before reaping the benefit. And so a lot of time we must recognize that, you know, even Hebrews 13 let us know, and 17, verse 7 and 17 let us know that he's given us these people to be over us as men and women of God, because they are watching over for our soul. And he said, for obey them that have rule over you, for they watch for your soul, and they must give an account unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as it is, even these proverbs, even as we read them, they're there to help us and to enable us to be able to find solace, wisdom, and protection and understanding from the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and who he had moved upon these great patriots to speak a word in due season and at that appointed time. So when we begin to look at that ruling over, it is there for our protection. Now, when we further look at the Proverbs, it is a theme. The theme of Proverbs is wisdom. And the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah, originally pertained to skillfulness of the Hebrew and craftsmen. For an example, Exodus 35 and 35 state, he has filled them with skill to do all manner of works of engravers, designers, and tapestry workers. And you'll see that later the meaning of this word referred to mental skills or the ability to skillfully construct ideas and words. And so God has given into every man, woman, or boy, girl, skillfulness to construct words and ideals, or become engrafters or designers or tapestry, putting things together, creating, and whether it's in the engineering, whether it's in computer skills or IT tech. God given these skills and these abilities. And so what we have to do as children of God, begin to ask God to stir those gifts and stir those skills that he's given to us and knowledge that he's given unto us to craft things. Some are great seamstresses, and some are cosmetologists, and some are other designers and able to design things in other various way and things, because God has engrafted those gifts down in our lives, and we're using them for his glory and honor as we even put them together. And so to understand what life is all about and how it works and design the proper perspective. Now, when one digs beneath the apparent meaning of the word proverb, the word gradually exposes the core essence that face every person who desires to live for God. And when we begin to look at those proverbs, they are all constructed to be able to enable and help every child of God. Now, for example, when Solomon mentioned that the wise woman who built her house, he was actually revealing the edifying power of the wisdom of God. And when he referred to the evil and moral woman who subdued the unruly soul, he was actually warning us of the destructive force of the false witness of the world. And so James describes this wisdom as earthly and sensual and devilish, and you'll find that over in James 3:15. He also described the wisdom was from above, at first being pure, then peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. James 3:17, in the end, each believer's must choose which woman to whom they will be joined to. You'll find that over here. And when we speak in terms and in reference, you say, now, how did you get woman out of that? Well, when you begin to look at the word wisdom, the other name for wisdom is Sophia, which meaning a woman. And so he used that word Sophia, and a lot of times you may not hear it all the time, even in sometimes in our own even in the Bible, you may not see that. But when you begin to look it up and do greater research into wisdom, it means Sophia. And so God always used as a metaphor a lot of times. He used that woman or things that's pertaining to the woman to bring forth a spiritual message using a natural application. And so when you think in terms of that word proverb or wisdom, that's what it's speaking or referring to, that Sophia. And we may speak of that a little bit later on. Now, let's remember the ways of wisdom. Now, by describing the attribute of a wise person and contrasting them with those of a fool, the book of Proverbs provides us with a divine tool for self-evaluation. And as we read it, its words, and consider its illustration, we would do well to hold our attitudes and lifestyle up to its penetrating light. As part of divinely inspired scripture, the book of Proverbs is profitable for the doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for correction. It's for instruction in righteousness, that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You'll find that over in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. In fact, the first attribute of a wise person is his or her willingness to examine and correct, be corrected by the word of God. Now, that right there in itself is profound, because many times people do not want to be corrected or reproved by the word of God. And we find that's what it is. In and through the word of God, we find correction. In and through the word of God, we find instruction, so that we can be profitable in the house of God, in the things of God, understanding the things of God and the ways of God. And that's very, very key for us as the people of God to adhere to and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church of God's people. Now, let's look further in things, and let me go back over that. So it is profitable for doctrine. It's for reproof. It's for correction. It's for instruction in the ways of righteousness, and it's that we may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So if you want to begin somewhere, many people say, well, Pastor, I don't know where to begin to read. Many times I send them to Proverbs, because Proverbs give us a lot of practicality when it comes to practical living for and holy living before the Lord our God, to give us instruction about how to govern our lives and to live this holy and upright life. Now let us look forward. He will hear wise counsel in every aspect of life. People face examination in school. Children are examined through regular testing. Also in the workplace, employees are examined at job interviews and through annual performance evaluation. Sports coaches keep a watchful eye on the players and examine their plays and instruct and correct them whenever their performance is less than expected. Everyone takes these examinations for granted. But for the teacher and the employers and the coach is not doing his job useless or routinely to give examination or correction an error. To their determined, some believers seem to be reject any effort on the part of their spiritual leader to examine their life. Now, sadly, people who will allow a physician to examine their bodies and prescribe corrective medicine, but the idea of a pastor examining their souls and offering correction, counsel for spiritual ailments and that offend them and that needs to be corrected, that's just as important as you going even to a natural physical doctor to getting correction for an ailment, such as it is. Even in the spirit realm, that man or woman of God who God has placed in that spiritual authority as the pastor, their part of their job is to bring, to reprove and to correct those things that we see that is out of order and that does not line up with the word of the Lord our God, so that we could be perfected in things until the thoroughly perfected in the furnishing of good work, because that's our job as people and men and women of God to do that. Now, let's look further. Now, rejecting wise counsel is the opposite of the humble attitude of the wise individual. Solomon stated that such a person will hear and will increase learning. The Hebrew word for hear is shama, which means to hear intelligently and with the implication of attention and obedience. This is the same word used in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, which is called the shama. Jesus described this verse as the first and the most important of all commandments. In other words, the first thing we must do is shama. We must hear. To refuse to hear is the first degree of foolishness, for it closed the door on learning and spiritual growth. It adopts the spirit of our first parents, Adam and Eve, who by their own action said, "We don't need to hear and listen to you, God. We can do whatever we want." And unfortunately, their unwillingness to hear the Lord resulted in horrible consequences for all of us. Now, a child who will not receive his, or hear his parents receive punishment. An employee who will not hear their employee face discipline and possibly termination. A player who will not hear their coach is dismissed from the team. However, the consequences are far more severe for the believer who will not hear the words of wise counsel from spiritual leaders as they confront them with the word of God. They place themselves in the category of the wicked and foolish and face the perspective of ultimate destruction. And so we as children of God, we must hear wise counsel. Now let's look at further. As we're moving further into our lesson, it said the wise person hears and fears the Lord by holding him in high awe and respect. Sadly, some people consider the fear of God to be old-fashioned and outdated, a tool used by controlling preachers to manipulate simple minds of the parishioners. However, in the book of Proverbs, the Bible projects a different view of fearing God. And let's take a look at these different ways. One, the fear of the Lord produced a hatred of evil, Proverbs 8 and 13. Number two, the fear of the Lord prolongs our days, Proverbs 10 and 27. The fear of the Lord is the fountain of life, Proverbs 14, 27. Then finally, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a lot of time when we quote that, we just say one fear of the Lord, the beginning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, it's also other things. The fountain of life is also prolongs our days. It also produces a hatred of evil. And so all of these things, when we fear the Lord, this is what's going to be produced in our life, wisdom, fountain of life. We're going to increase our days, prolong our days. It's going to produce hatred of evil. And so until an individual acquires a deep-seated fear of his creator, he cannot begin to apprehend the wisdom from above. The Bible gives many examples of those who fear God. Number one, it was Job who was called one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job 1 and 11. Cornelius was a man called as a devout man, a man that feared God, Acts 10 and 2. Acts 9 and 31 states that the church that had rest and was edified, and while walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, was multiplied because they feared God. This indicated that the fear of God is the key ingredient of church growth. Now, let's look further. Now, the Psalms 34, David wrote, "Come, ye children, hearken, shama, unto the Lord. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Psalms 34 and 11. So David was admonishing them to come and hear of the Lord. Hearing wise counsel and fearing God go hand in hand. Those who will not hear prove that they do not fear. When Solomon reached the end of his search for the meaning of life, he wrote, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandment, for this is the whole duty of man," Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Nacy expressed the reason mankind should fear God, "For God shall bring every man's work, every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil," Ecclesiastes 12, 14. A person may think he can hide his evil works and keep them secret, but the end, this will prove to be a foolish assessment. Now, apart from the fear of God, wisdom loses its meaning and effectiveness in our lives. It becomes no more than an intellectual exercise. This has been observed countless times throughout human history as multitude of seemingly bright individuals have wrecked their own lives and the lives of others by their greedy or immoral behavior. Truly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Oh, child of God, child of God. Let us go on and further look here into the word of the Lord. And let's look that even the fear, it respects authority. Proverbs was written in the form of a loving father giving guidance to his beloved son. He said, my son, hear, or Shama, the instruction of the father, which wrote Solomon, and forsake not the law of thy mother, Proverbs 1:18. This verse is a classic example of the multiplying layers of meaning found in Proverbs. Certainly, every child ought to respect the authority of his father and heed his instruction. But concerning the children of God, we have a heavenly Father who is also entitled to our respect and obedience. Therefore, we learn from this one wise statement both the ways of the wise son as well as the ways of the wise child of God. As Peter wrote, we have to live before God as obedient children. 1 Peter 1 through 14. In a similar fashion, every child has a mother whose law the child should obey, and the children of God have a spiritual mother, the church, which Peter described as the mother of us all in Galatians 4 and 26. Like a father, God gives the general instruction to his children, and like a mother, the church directs the specific steps involved in doing the father's will. A person might say, I can read the Bible for myself, and I don't need anyone to teach me. I have God, and that's all I need. This attitude ignores the spiritual reality that God operates through people, his church. As a gift to his people, God has provided pastors, teachers, and others minister for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service. See Ephesians 4 and 11. And I want to stop there. We must recognize, because that is something that is I see more and more prevalent, that people saying that, well, I can read my Bible myself. And God told me, he said, Helen, that the people of God are sometimes staying home. Some people are staying home and looking at services on television and saying, well, I can have church by myself here at home. Well, that's not God's will. God has given us spiritual leaders to help us, to enable us, to cause us, to edify us, to build us up, to be the man and woman of God that he's called us out to be for the work of and service of the ministry, because he's given you a gift, even that one that is staying home and not coming to the house of God. God has given you a gift that's supposed to be exercised in the house of the Lord and for the upbuilding of God's kingdom. And it's vital that you be there. It's vital that you come to his house and worship him. It's for the edifying. It's for the upbuilding, so that we can all come into the unity of the faith and into the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ, even in our own lives, individually and collectively. And it's vital that you be in the house of the Lord. And you must know that, that's what God has created us for, us to come to the house to show forth his praises in things unto his name. To think that any believer can understand how to fulfill God's will for his own life on his own is like believing that a five-year-old can sew a button on his shirt just because his father told him to do it. Clearly, he will need his mother's guidance and assistance to fulfill his father's will, and that's the church. The wise son respects both his father and mother and understanding his need for both authority figures in their life. And such as it is, as we start, the father's word that has been spoken to the church, which is the mother. And so the father speaks to the church. The father from above speak to the mother. The mother is the church. And so that is the way God has performed it, that as we come to the church as a figure of the mother and things, the father will speak to the children that are there in the house. I hope you caught that revelation there. The wise father respects His wise son respects his father and mother and understand his need for both authority figures in their life. He is committed to the will of his spiritual father, but he looks to his local assembly, the church, to help him, to guide him in the fulfillment of that will. You see the revelation and the correlation there of the father and the mother when it comes to the church. Amen. A lot of times we speak of the mother church and things when we speak of other churches or that have been born out of that church as being the mother church. Well, all church are the mothers and things. And the Heavenly Father that speaks to the church is the Father when he speaks through the man or the woman of God to the church, to the assembled one, the ecclesia, the called out one, the one that is gathered or assembled together. Now let us look further in things. He wear the ornaments of grace. And things. Luke wrote of a young man, Jesus, that went down to Nazareth with his parents and was subject unto them, Luke 2 and 5. He further states that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature in the favor with God and man, Luke 2 and 5, 52. This is an incredible example of the wise son portrayed in Proverbs. As we have already seen, the person who is truly wise is willing to hear Shama and fear the Lord and respect the authority of both of his father and his mother, and that's God and the church. Now, as an individual grow in wisdom, grace will adorn his life as he finds favor with both God and others. His wisdom display itself is obvious and conspicuous to all. He will be like Stephen, who is said that they were not able to resist the wisdom that the Spirit by which he spake, Acts 6 and 10. He will be like those that described by Paul to Timothy when he wrote, the good works of some are manifested beforehand, and they are otherwise cannot be hid, 1 Timothy 5 and 25. When a person has become skillful in living, his wisdom has a way of displaying itself. As James wrote, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of his good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. James 3 and verse 13. True wisdom is obvious to others. Now we're going to get ready to close on today. We have a shorter lesson on today, and we're going to get ready to close out. But I pray that this has helped you and given you a greater understanding and to recognize that wisdom, it will preserve us. Wisdom will deliver us, and wisdom will dwell in the land and things. And the message of the book of Proverbs is that God makes his wisdom known, for it is up to us as individuals to find it and to embrace it. The scripture admonishes us to receive wisdom, to incline our ears to it and to apply our hearts to it and to cry out after it and to lift up our voice to it and to seek it out as we would search for hidden treasure. Since no one can do it for us, each person must seek godly wisdom for themselves. Now, this concluding verse of Proverbs provides us with a beautiful portrait of the godly and an industrial woman, properly known in as the virtuous woman. Although the surface meaning is undoubtedly true here, the passage can also be interpreted as a poetic description of the glorious church of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious bride. The clear message to the church is that the believer must learn and take to heart the wisdom taught in this profound portion of Scripture. Now, Revelation 1 and 3 promised believers to all who read the book of Revelation, and the same could be said of the book of Proverbs. Even a superficial reading will yield innumerable nuggets of heavenly wisdom and divine understanding. And Solomon's collection of wise saying and poetical illustration is designed by the all-knowing Father of humankind to teach us how to live. Although many people might think it's unnecessary, it is so wonderful that life questions do not have to be asked again by every new generation. It has been written for us and has been and have not need alteration for these three millennia. Paul prayed that the believer would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, Colossians 1 and 9. Certainly, the book of Proverbs is a key component of God's plan for answering this prayer. We would all do well to heed the wise lesson of the third king of Israel. And so it is, children of God, that nobody can give us that wisdom, but we have to, as individuals, take it upon ourselves to begin to read the book of Proverbs and things. And I have a new book that's going to be coming out very soon, and I want everyone to get it and things, because it's going to show you how to read that book and gain the wisdom and the knowledge and the blessing and the practical blessings that you can get out of that book. So stay tuned. You are going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed. And to hear, even when we launch the day, when it come out, we will let you all know. Because I know without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to tremendously bless you in a mighty and a special way. And so in my conclusion, I want to say I'm so glad that you was with me on today. And always know that if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one blessing away from your miracle. And all you need to do is ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock, and that door shall be open unto you. Truly, child of God, God is going to tremendously bless you. He's going to tremendously undergird and fortify you in a mighty and a special way. Just continue to keep your hearts and minds open and watch God open unto the Lord our God and watch God bless you in a mighty and a special way. And I want to say I thank God for each and every one of my listeners that are online today with us on today. I pray that God will bless you and strengthen you with wisdom. Go back and read Proverbs so that you can gain a better understanding about the practical livings in life, so that you can be victorious, and that you can become a hater of evil. You can have the fountain of life, and you can fear God and get the beginning of wisdom and all these things that God wants to bless us in his rich word by reading the book of Proverbs. And so, child of God, be blessed. It's my prayer for you on today. Let the blessings of the Lord continue to make you rich and add no sorrow. May God bless you is my prayer, and bye-bye.